Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dubcast with Dubside. I'm Andrew Lazaga, and I'll be your host today for this special episode of the Dubcast. Today, I have the honor of talking with Chung Shi Sun, the co-founder and chief engineer of Gear Lab. Based in Taiwan, Gear Lab is an award-winning design company that makes high-performance kayak paddles, combining the thousand-year-old ergonomics of traditional Greenland paddles with advanced material strength in the quest to create the world's most efficient kayak paddle. I also want to thank one of our listeners, Raju Bitter of Copenhagen, for suggesting this interview and for helping facilitate this meeting. Chung Shi, welcome to the Dubcast, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chung Shi. I'm from Taiwan. I'm so happy to join this interview to share all the ideas about sea kayaking and, of course, Greenland kayaking.
So, to begin with, can you tell us about your background and how you became interested in traditional Arctic kayaking?
Yes. My background, I'm an industrial designer. We design product, very wide range product like even coffee cup or medical device or like outdoor equipment. But my personal hobby is sea kayaking. So during my free time of my job, I spend some my resources to research about how to make a carbon fiber paddles. That's how I get involved to the paddle making industry. And the first time I touched the kayaking, this activity is about 2003. I still remember my first paddle is the Werner Camino, and it's 230, I think. So, which is a quite long and powerful paddle. And I paddled that paddle for about 2 to 3 years. And I start to feel something wrong with my shoulder. And there's a friend visit Taiwan from Canada, and he bring a wooden Greenland paddle. I still remember it's 2006. And that's the first time I know something about Greenland paddle. And once I try it, I suddenly feel, yeah, that's the thing so much makes sense. It's light, it's make you easier and less that powerful, but it's nice to my body. So since I got some issues, then I start to doing some research about the Greenland paddle. And then 2006, I've been very interested in developing this kind of paddles. That's the story, how I become a Greenland paddler.
It's not an uncommon story that I've heard where people have shoulder problems and move to using a Greenland paddle because of that.
Yeah, in the beginning. Mm-hmm. In the beginning. Yeah, because now I still, my shoulder is still weird, still a little bit cracking sound at the shoulder joint, but it doesn't getting worse. It just stayed that way. So, well, I can accept that and just keep paddling. And I think the Greenland paddle is keep my shoulders stay functional. That's the one big benefit for me.
So when did you start manufacturing paddles, and when did you start Gear Lab?
Actually, Gear Lab was a design company. we have a lot of industrial kind, and we make a design for them as a service, and that's how we make a living. And in the same time, I have some because I have ever designed bicycles. So I know a lot of bicycle manufacturers, which is they can make carbon fiber bicycle frame. Compared to the carbon fiber bicycle frame, the carbon fiber paddle is much easier. The shape is much easier. So this idea come up, and can we make a carbon fiber Greenland paddle? You know, the high-end Euro paddle is carbon fiber, but at that time, all I know, the Greenland paddle is made by wood, and which is one piece and heavy and difficult to carry. So this idea about can we make carbon fiber Greenland paddle? Yeah. And after some research and the contact with the manufacturer, and the mold is quite acceptable and it's worth to try. So that's how I started making a Greenland paddle. And the first paddle design, I was follow the instruction of the how to carve a wooden Greenland paddle. I used all the instruction to design the Greenland paddle shape in the computer. That's the first, you can say, the knowledge I learned about the Greenland paddle. But it doesn't go quite well. Actually, carving a wooden Greenland paddle, because of the material is wood, so the design kind of fitting the material. But carbon fiber, the material is different. It's stronger, it's lighter. So you can make a lot of different designs because of the material change. I think the first carbon Greenland paddle was made about 2010. That's the first version. We used that and we also sell that on the internet for about 2 years. But during these 2 years, I was keep trying and learning from the experience from my own, just to think and realize how can I make it better? Because I feel I can make it better. I just need to learn how. So after 2 years paddling, I start to making some design change and test and to learn. I'm not professional of the hydrodynamic, so I have to learn from the feedback in the ocean, the drag feedback. And after 2 years, we start to developing a new model and thinking about how can I use my professional, which is industrial design, to make it better.
So in 2010, you made your first version. So
yes.
You have 12 years of experience making them now, or 13 years.
Yeah.
Can you discuss the process of changing the design and how did the designs evolve over this time period?
Yeah, I think there are two major design change about our Greenland paddle process. The one thing is the sharp edge. When we carve the wooden Greenland paddle, we cannot make the edge too sharp, because the wood will crack. So normally we made the edge like kind of a blade shape, but a little bit round at the tip. Because if you make it too sharp, that will be like make a crack immediately, like you hit a rock or even, the wood is not a consistent material. Some part is soft, some part is harder, even if it's the same piece of wood. So you cannot make it too sharp. But if you see the Euro paddle, most of the Euro paddle are really sharp at the edge. And back to the 2010, we even developed something we call the tip protector. I don't know anyone remember that. It's the silicone tip, a silicone cover to cover the paddle tip to avoid the tip will hit the rock. So you can imagine the edge at the tip become even rounder, even bulky, even fatter. And the feedback about the cover make the paddle become less performance. That make me start wondering what's the performance comes from. And I realized the shape of the tip will decide the performance, how the performance will be. So we start to make some experiment to make the tip sharper. we can say the whole edge is sharper. And the performance immediately changed. So there's one major direction is how to make the paddle edge sharper. And the other thing is our first generation paddle, after 2 years of in the ocean and paddling, and the tip becomes very ugly. Yeah, the tip becomes very, very ugly. Is the painting is all destroyed. Even some part of the tip are even have a crack or a leaking. So we start to think, can we do some design change to avoid this kind of thing? And actually, it's the two sides of the same issue. Because if we can make the tip not that easy to break, then we can make it sharper. And that's the same philosophy happens in the traditional Greenland paddle, because they make the paddle in wood, but they will use maybe the whalebone or harder wood on the tip to protect the paddle. So actually, that's the same philosophy. So we start to think about the combined different materials to the carbon fiber to protect the tip. Because carbon fiber is durable and hard, but it's not a good material to direct the heating things. So in the end, we design something like, we call it, it's a plastic tip to protect the paddle tip. And it's even replaceable. If you use the very hard and it gets the wheel out, you can even replace it and become a new one. So that's the two major design direction from us. One is to make the whole edge sharper, and the other is to make the replaceable tip to protect the paddle.
So it sounds like you've discovered that a lot of the performance is because of the design of the tip of the paddle, and getting it sharper improves the performance, but makes it more fragile and more prone to wear and tear.
Yeah.
And you've been able to solve this problem by putting on a replaceable solid plastic tip.
Yes.
So when the tip gets worn out, how do you replace it?
We use a very tiny set screw. Set screw. It's just like the traditional Greenland paddle. They just use a wooden pin to or bone pin to fix it. And we use the same thing, but it's a screw shape.
Okay. Now, I've talked to a number of paddle makers on this podcast before, and the one thing that they have difficulty doing is objectively measuring a paddle's performance. They say it's completely subjective. It's a completely subjective evaluation of how the paddle feels compared to other paddles. How do you go about measuring performance? Have you found an objective way to measure efficiency of the paddle?
Yeah. It's a very good question. In the beginning, we saw the lens is really important, because the Greenland paddle makers, they measure the paddle by your body measurement, right? Which make everyone's different. But we only have limited model. We cannot make a limited size. So we have to choose. But it's the same philosophy like the way we're making clothes. Because if you go to a tailor shop, of course, they can measure your body to make the clothes 100% fit you. But now we didn't do that. We just go to a shop and okay, you are a size L, size large, or a size medium, and you just take the clothes and to fit you enough to you can use it. The same philosophy happened in our Greenland paddle making. In the beginning, we had five. That means that there are five modes, which costs a lot. Yeah. But actually, in my experience, like years of paddling, I think there's no such things we call the perfect size. Because everyone is different. Even you are the same length, but maybe someone is thin, someone is fat, someone is strong. So how to measure in a paddle? The Greenland way is use the measurement by your body height plus your arm, or your arm wingspan plus one elbow length, such things like that. But I discovered it doesn't make much difference if people sitting on the kayak, because the paddle length decide how many paddle area inside the water, which is functional. And if you watch everyone sitting on the kayak, they are almost sitting in the same height. And their hand is touching the water more or less. So the functional area of a paddle is from your hand grip to the paddle tip. And this area will decide how much force the power will give you. In the same time, you gave the water the same counter force. And the counter force is kind of a pivot to push you forward. So I think the length is all about how much counter force you need in the water, which means how long the paddle will be in the water for everyone. If there's a stronger man, which he is quite not that tall, like Maligiak. Maligiak used super long paddle. But you know, he's not tall.
Yeah.
For example, Maligiak used, I think his favorite paddle is 235 centimeters. But it's too long for me because I'm not a strong guy.
Okay.
So the best paddle for me maybe is 215 centimeters. So this only depends on how much counterforce you need from the water. So it depends on how strong you are and what kind of paddle style you are. In the end, we developed three kind of paddle lengths, which one is a regular, which I believe is suitable for most of the people. It's 220, yeah. And we have a long version is 230, is for if you need a powerful stroke, then you need more area, paddle area in the water. And if you are maybe for some female paddlers, which is less strong, short paddle will make you paddle easier because there's not so much counter force. So the force you spend on the paddle is less in the same time. But of course, how much force you generate, how much the energy to put on the kayak. Of course, if you want to paddle faster, maybe you need a longer paddle. But it's also about the frequency you are paddling. Mm-hmm. You can use a short paddle and paddle faster to generate the same energy. Yeah, so about a paddle length, that's how we measure it. Of course, against the traditional idea about how to measure a paddle, but that's what I really believe right now, actually. I want to add another thing I discovered very interesting. I paddle with Maligiak many times. Obviously, he's a traditional Greenland kayaker. But he got the widest loom I have ever seen. He hold the paddle so wide. A lot of people talk about the loom length. Most of them are talking about a very narrow loom. But Maligiak hold the paddle very wide. My opinion is the paddle style is totally different. The muscle you use is different as well. So there's no such an answer like the right length of the loom or the right length of the right. There's such no perfect length. It's all about how you use this tool. Because Maligiak use, compared to the Euro paddle style, he used much more upper body power, but less torso power. It's only the style. Of course, he can use torso power, but it's personal preference. He used more upper body power. He pushed the upper hand to generate the forward energy. Yeah, so he needs a wider loom.
Okay.
That's how I learned from him. So I made the loom a little wider. So some people maybe complain about, hey, the loom is too wide. But I don't know how to explain to them, but yeah, it also works. If you change a little bit the way you're paddling, you will find out that this actually is quite nice, actually.
So if you're as strong as Maligiak, you can use a much longer paddle and it'll work for you. But yeah. For regular cruising at an efficient speed, at a higher cadence, you could use a shorter paddle.
Yeah.
Okay. So you visited Greenland to attend the National Kayaking Championships in 2017.
Yes.
So how did that come about?
It is kind of adventurous for us because we never go into the place that I caught. I know Maligiak about 2015, and we have a little bit discussion about all the paddle making and sea kayak things. And then he come out an idea. I think the idea happened before, and he will ask people all over the world to visit Greenland and attend the Greenland kayak competition. Actually, which is a difficult task because the Greenland is so traditional. It's like a very closed group. Outside people, it's difficult to get into this circle. Maligiak is trying to involve the people from other country to communicate from Greenland to outside and outside to Greenland. So we joined the competition.
Okay.
But actually, we are not really joined because the record is not the count with Greenland main group. But we still join them. We have a great time and we do all kind of competition like long distance, short distance, harpoon soaring, and actually you are free to join every competition. It's very interesting because you see the Greenland people, they use the very traditional tunic and we are using the trisuit and use the plastic kayak to compete with them in the same area, the very traditional environment. In the same time, you use the like a sealskin kayak beside a carbon fiber kayak. And they are really interesting in our paddle because our paddle are carbon fiber. We are interested in layers. Layers are like all different kind of shape and wood and details. So it's really an interesting communication between us and them. I really enjoyed the time we spent on the Greenland. Maligiak was trying to make us to join the competition. And of course, if you said you are just going to Greenland to attend a competition, maybe people won't be that interested. So the whole plan is to join the competition. And at the same time, we have a tour. We have a 7 days expedition. Back to 2017, we went to Arsiak and we have expeditions for 7 days. And most of the area we paddles is like nobody, no one, nothing, just nature.
Wow.
Just like an iceberg and whales and seals. And of course, it's cold, but it's really, really amazing place. Yeah.
Where did you get the kayaks for the competition?
Of course, we didn't bring our own. There are some commercial kayak tour company in Greenland.
Okay.
So Maligiak went to them and rent the kayak from them. So they are all plastic, very heavy. And actually, Maligiak called it the best of. Yeah, so we use the bathtub to join the competition. Of course, you know what happened. Everyone was just gone, and we are all left to behind. And but we finished the competition in the end. It's all about the join. It's all not about the winning or racing. It's yeah. about the, to join the whole activity. Yeah.
So how did you do in the rolling competition?
No, we didn't do that with the bathtub. It's not a good idea. We borrowed, there are some kayakers from Denmark, and they bring their own Greenland-style carbon fiber kayak.
Oh, nice.
Nice. That's much, much easier to roll. Yeah. But the water is so cold, so cold.
And isn't that where you met Dubside?
Yeah, Dubside was one of the special guests at our trip. During the competition, Dubside was the judge, like he hold the whole rolling competition and give it a score and arrange everything. And he could communicate with Greenland and also all our foreigners. So he kind of arranged the whole rolling and Greenland rope, the competition. And after the competition, he also joined our expedition.
Oh, okay.
So we paddled for about 7 days. Yeah, we enjoyed the nature for a very long time.
Did you hunt any seals?
No. No, we cannot. We cannot. But actually, we do visit the seal market, and we saw how they dealing with the seal they hunt. And we even tested the seal, I think it's seal liver or seal heart.
Oh.
Yeah, it's raw.
How did you like it?
Well, actually, I'm a vegetarian, so...
Oh, okay. So am I.
I give it a try, but yeah, it's not a very... something you will enjoy.
Wow. Well, how does the kayaking community in Taiwan compare to that of other countries, particularly in terms of popularity and participation?
I think the history of kayaking in Taiwan is different from other countries because we have maybe 50 years Civil War period. So the Civil War period, the people are not allowed to have water activities because all the coast is sealed, is forbidden to play. But after 80s, the things start to change. So it's not open once, but it's like a step by step. People are allowed to do things to, like hiking was forbidden as well. But now, of course, it's allowed. It's a very good activities. That background make people are not familiar with oceans. So even today, we are doing sea kayaking. People still asking, is that allowed? Is that safe? Is that is that okay? If you need to get a permit, but actually, it's totally free in Taiwan to kayak. We can even kayak to mainland China. Actually, maybe two days you can kayak to mainland China. But of course, you have problem to cross the border. But I was talking about it. It's all totally free in the Taiwan area ocean to do anything you want. But people are not very familiar with the ocean, make the kayak population very, not that much in Taiwan. It's increasing, especially the recent years. It's increasing dramatically. But back to 2000, we are like a very rare strange people doing strange things.
So the coast of Taiwan used to be closed to recreational use because of security reasons.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. For example, back to maybe 2010, if we have a trip about 10 kayaks, that would be quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be quite a lot. But right now, like every week, we have more than 10 in the ocean.
Okay.
Every week. Like sometimes even 20 or 30 or even 40 kayaks in the same trip. So things have changed right now.
So how popular is Greenland style within that kayaking community?
Okay, we have to define the Greenland style.
Well,
yeah. If you were talking about the Greenland style paddle, I can say maybe 80% of people are using Greenland style paddle.
Wow.
because there's a gear lab in Taiwan. Yeah,
impressive.
We do support the people a lot of Greenland paddle. Like we provide them easier to afford, and they can have the latest versions to test. So we are like together, you know, the Gear Lab actually together with the whole Taiwanese kayaking community. So people really know about the benefit of the Greenland paddle and they really enjoy it.
Excellent. Greenland style, to me, I mean, there are two things. There's the paddle and there's also the rolling.
Yeah. Rolling, I think it's not an issue because actually, the biggest benefit of the Greenland paddle is the rolling. Because with the extended stroke, you can roll so easy. Like even we go surfing, some people said if you're surfing, you need a wider blade to become the rudder to do the movement. But if you surf, you will have a big chance you will get capsized. So it's important to have a very solid roll. So people choose Greenland paddle to surfing because they can roll 100%. I think a lot of people can roll at least maybe the standard Greenland roll. And there are maybe not much, maybe 5% people are really into rolling and they can do more kind of rolls. Yeah, so that's what happened in Taiwan. Actually, quite interesting because compared to other places, less people are really into rolling.
That's what attracted me to the Greenland paddle as well, is it was much more reliable in rolling.
Yes.
That made me much more confident in rougher water, particularly surf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later on, you even brought Maligiak to Taiwan to visit the Greenland paddle.
Yes. Yeah.
So how did that come about?
Because Maligiak, back to the 2019, Maligiak was traveling between Greenland and Alaska, and he also hosts a few trips in Alaska. I think that's kind of the way he make a sort of he make living, and it's also his interest. So I think it's very, very good because I joined the trip in Alaska as well.
Oh, okay.
And so there's an idea comes about why we just bring Maligiak to Taiwan to visit those Asia paddlers. Because mm-hmm. it will be fun. It will be very impact someone from Greenland to come to Asia and teach us how to kayak. We can learn a lot from him. So that's the idea start from. And we have a good international activities because we have people from Singapore, from Malaysia, from Hong Kong. We call that a tour with Maligiak, and we go to the island. There's an island group in east side of Taiwan. So we have maybe 8 days kayaking, and we kayak less than 20 kilos a day. And we have a class. Maligiak will teach us the stroke and the rolling. It's May in Taiwan, but May is the spring. For Taiwan, it's the springtime. it's not even summer. But for Malikiaki, he almost get heat stroke. He need to cool down a lot, keep cooling down himself. You know, we are still wearing a lot of clothes, but he's like too hot for him.
So it sounds like there's a lot of interest in Asia in Greenland style kayaking.
Yes.
Can you find instructors who teach paddling and rowing?
It's difficult. Actually, we bring some instructors from ACA system from States.
Oh, okay.
Like every year. Okay. Every year, because we the kayak school here, they use the ACA system. So we okay. have the ACA instructors to come to Taiwan like every year to train some new instructors. But the Greenland style is we don't have that much resources. Do you know there's Ichi Ito from Japan?
I've heard of him. I've never met him.
He's quite active Greenland kayak builder. I went to Japan to visit him once, and we built a kayak in 3 days. Of course, it's a group of people built a kayak in 3 days, a very traditional way. And I was thinking about either we can ask him to come to Taiwan to have some like activities to make Taiwan have more Greenland style information coming to the kayak community. Most of people are only use the Greenland paddle here, but actually they are paddling the European way. The kayak are all modern and European style.
Okay.
Even some people are focused on the surf ski. Yeah, we are kind of a mixed a lot of things here.
Do you think there will be another team from Taiwan going to compete in the Greenland National Kayaking Championships in the future?
I think definitely, yes. Yeah, it's amazing there. It's amazing in kayaking in Greenland. The year I attend is 2017. Actually, there's another team from Taiwan's 2018.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's definitely yes, because people are interested in knowing and evolving in deeper to the traditional kayak way. Mm-hmm. Actually, we have a YouTube video to record the whole trip to Greenland. And the video's name is The Route of Kayaking.
I'll have to look that up. I missed it.
Yeah, I will send you the link later.
Okay, yes, yeah. Please do. Well, you know, when I got into sea kayaking nearly 20 years ago, almost everything related to Greenland style had to be handmade.
Yes.
Greenland paddles were often dismissed by sea kayaking instructors as inefficient, primitive, compared to the modern Euro blades. And there was good reason for that, because a lot of them were homemade and not very well made. So the debate between the Greenland paddle and the Euroblade went on for years after that. Do you think the difference between the Greenland paddle and the Euroblade now is one more of preference, or is one clearly superior to the other one?
Yes, of course. Actually, we have some ambassador, which is a heavy Greenland user, heavy Greenland paddle user. Mm-hmm. You can see how they paddle. Is they paddle like professional. They can do everything Euroblade can do. And they can even do things that Euroblade cannot do.
Mm.
And we have a very professional paddlerist in Canada. He can use both. He's a very senior ACA instructor, so he can use Euroblade very professional way. But in the same time, he used the Greenland paddle a lot. There's a friend, also a traditional Greenland paddle instructor, James Mankey.
Yes, James Mankey.
Yeah. You should see how he teach people using Greenland paddle. He said, he will hold the Euroblade and the Greenland paddle in his both hands. And he will say that, okay, it's one. Here is a spoon. Here's a knife. Which is better? yeah, less no better or less better compared to spoon and knife. It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can use both and they both have advantage. They both have his specialty. And so it's just like that.
Tell us about the latest paddle design. For someone who wants to buy a GearLab carbon fiber paddle, which is the best one that they should get?
Right now, we have a latest model we call the Epic.
Okay.
Yeah, Epic is in Greenlandic language, this means sharp. The story behind this paddle is right before the COVID, it's the end of the 2019. I have a trip visit Poland in the West Coast to join the Lumpy Water 2019. And I met James Mangi there. We have a very good time in the Lumpy Water. But after that, I visited Portland at East Coast. Yeah, I visited East Coast Portland to visit Turner Wilson, which is very interesting because Turner was one of our contact. He contacted us like 2010 or 12 because he have a trip to visit Europe and he needed a two-piece of Greenland paddle. So he contacted us and bought a bunch of paddles for them to visit Europe. But he have a lot of opinion about my paddle design. So back to 2010, we are not that familiar and we didn't have very deep discussion about the paddle design. But 2019, I visited Portland East Coast to visit him. We have a face-to-face discussion about the paddle design and he showed me a lot of things. He bring me to his field to go paddling and teach me why his theory is like that. So I learned a lot from that trip. He would like me to make a paddle his way. He bring a lot of input to my design thinking. So when we back to Taiwan, I start to make the shape. The shape, I think Turner will like it.
Okay, so Turner Wilson had a lot of input into the Epic design.
Yes, he have a lot. And actually, business-wise, I tend to make the paddle shoulderless. The shoulderless will fit more people, have more flexibility to fit people. But Turner assisted, it have to be shoulders.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong between shoulder or shoulderless. But he wish he can be shouldered. So the Epic in the end becomes shoulder paddle. And the design take about 1 year. And the COVID happened. The whole manufacturer chain was impacted. Oh. And the whole plan was delayed. A lot of things you are not expecting happened. Our previous model is Calic, which is about 750 gram weight. And the Epic, we are targeting to a goal we have never imagined before, 600 gram.
Wow.
So from 750 to 600 is a huge gap. And we are looking for a whole new manufacturer, whole new process. Because using the previous process, you cannot make it. You have to have a whole new things to make it. So we're looking for new supplier, new manufacturer, new design. Everything is new. Plus, the COVID impact is a nightmare for me.
So the Epic is not available yet.
It's available right now.
Oh, okay.
But it should be available in 2022, in the beginning of the 22. It launched, but in the end of the 22.
Okay.
It's 11, November or December. It's launched right now. It's producing right now, but it took us almost 1 year to conquer all the issues.
Okay. So the Epic is the latest design.
Yeah. And the result is quite impressed. Result is quite impressed. The people who have ever tried the EPIC almost love it immediately. The feedback, the lightweight, the hydrodynamic is, yeah, people say that, okay, Kalik is a good pedal, it's already very good, but they cannot imagine we can even make something better than that, but we did.
Wow. Awesome.
Actually, I have something to share recently in my mind. Because back during these 20 years, we saw the whole kayak community developing, but very, very slowly. The whole sea kayak market is not growing. Hmm. All over the world, they are all very small communities, like small groups or small companies. The last 10 years, there something happened in the water sports field. Because I don't know if you see that. Inflatable stand-up paddle.
Yes.
Yeah, you see that, right? That start to make me thinking, what bring people to water? Mm. Kayaking for me is like a daily life. It's like walking. It's very nature. I just sitting and put on skirt and start kayaking, and I feel so comfortable, even comfortable than on the land. But I know for a lot of people, even covering the skirt is a scary thing for them. That started to make me think about what brings people to water. And actually, it's just one thing. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a risk issue behind.
That's true.
So that made me start. Am I doing things wrong, in the wrong way? Because we're doing things like a professional way. You have to be professional to avoid the risk, to make things right, to have a proper stroke. But actually, it's just all about the fun. Mm-hmm. So we are thinking about how to bring more people to water, like make these things much more easier. It's not about the lightweight or super performers. It's just about it's easy, it's accessible. So actually, we are thinking about a inflatable kayak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like a SUP, because the old-fashioned inflatable kayak is not it's not really good. It's like even lower than that desktop. But the technology they use on SUP is quite something. So if we can make a very easy kayak with easier way, you can carry that in your car truck, and you can inflatable in maybe 10 minutes, and you can enjoy the water. And that will bring people to the water. And the more people we bring to the water, the more people will getting deeper in the kayaking things, and there will be more people to enjoy the Greenland way kayaking. So I'm thinking about to build a way to let people step into the water.
Excellent. Yes.
Yeah, that's something we are thinking, because of the 10 years, maybe 20 years spent on kayak industry, and also the community, things are still going very slow. Mm-hmm. But you see, the SUP industry is like growing. Like, yeah,
I noticed that too. About 10 years ago, it was actually after the global economic crisis that people weren't getting into sea kayaking anymore, because sea kayaking requires a lot of gear. It can be expensive. And you need space to store your kayaks.
Yes.
It's hard when you're living in an apartment or a small condominium. And stand-up paddleboarding was much more convenient. And a lot of the younger people were getting into stand-up paddleboarding rather than going into sea kayaking.
Yeah.
I was disappointed to see that shift, because my heart, of course, is still in kayaking. I enjoy the journeying aspect of it, camping, and I enjoy rolling too. But you're right, it does require a lot of gear and quite a bit of training before you can really do it safely. I applaud your effort to bring that and make it more accessible to people.
Let me show you one thing. In Taiwan, we are actually reselling the, we call it the defect paddle at the local market with quite an acceptable price. Because sometimes we have some defect during the manufacture, but they are still useful, they are functional, but they just have some scratches or something painting wrong with the look. Mm-hmm. Of course, the target is the local paddlers, local sea kayak paddlers, right? But we got a lot of interest from stand-up paddlers.
Oh.
Yeah. As people get interested, I always ask them, what kind of kayak you kayak, because it depends on the paddle length. They said, oh, I don't kayak. I just paddle a 30-inch stand-up paddleboard.
So they're using a Greenland-style paddle for a paddleboard.
Yeah. So I asked them, why? They said, because stand-up paddle is difficult. I rather enjoy sitting on the board and paddle double side.
Yeah.
So if you have a stand-up board, but you are sitting on that and use a kayak paddle, you are kayaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people even have a tiny seat, because, you know, sitting on a flat board is difficult for a long time. So they do use a tiny seat to put on the board and sitting on the.
Yep.
So you are kayaking.
Yes. That's what people do when the wind picks up. They don't want to stand up anymore.
Yeah. So why not? We just make a stand-up board. We call it a sit-on board. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the plans to increase the kayaking population. And if we get them interested enough, then they start to... Of course, you didn't know what is my first kayak.
What?
The brand is Element Adventure, the inflatable kayak.
Oh, okay.
Because you have no space, the thing you think of comes to your mind is an inflatable one. It's easier to imagine. Yeah, so that's what we are trying to do to increase the kayaking population by designing something which can bring more people to the water.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I look forward to seeing what you come up with. Lastly, tell us how we can find you on the internet and how we can get a hold of one of your paddles.
If you Google GearLab Outdoors, you can. We have retailers worldwide. But you can also directly order on the internet from us.
Excellent. Cheng Shi, thank you so much for talking with me. And thank you for all your contributions to the sport of Greenland style.
That's my honor. And that's my, I think this become sort of my life goal to make these things happen, keep happening.